Welcome to the latest edition of the Federalist Society's SCOTUS Cast. In this edition, our podcasters consider the case Wisconsin Right to Life versus the Federal Election Commission. The case is an as-applied constitutional challenge to the federal prohibition on the use of corporate treasury funds to finance electioneering communications. We will first hear from James Bopp, Jr., constitutional law attorney and president of the National Legal Center for the Medically Dependent and Disabled. His podcast will be followed by a podcast from Donald J. Simon, private practitioner.
My name is Jim Bopp. I'm the attorney for Wisconsin Right to Life in the case argued today against the Federal Election Commission, which is challenging McCain-Feingold's electioneering communication prohibition that prohibits corporations, including not-for-profits and advocacy groups, from running broadcast advertising that mentioned the name of a candidate within 30 days of a primary and 60 days of a general election. McCain-Feingold's electioneering communication prohibition was upheld in 2003 in the case of McConnell versus FEC, where the court said that this provision is generally valid. But of course, as in any case, a statute could be unconstitutionally applied to particular circumstances, and that is the issue that was argued in the case today. What I mean by that is, let's say you have an arson law. It is, of course, generally valid to have arson laws that prohibit arson, but it could not constitutionally be applied to flag burning, which is a constitutionally protected right. Well, in McConnell, in 2003, when this provision was upheld, the FEC and the sponsors, including McCain and others who were defending the law, said that there were genuine issue ads that were broadcast during the blackout period, and that these genuine issue ads could be protected by as-applied challenges, and asked the court to just uphold the law generally, which the court did. So in 2004, Wisconsin Right to Life wanted to engage in grassroots lobbying activities about the filibuster of Bush's judicial nominees, and wanted to run both radio and television ads urging their senators to oppose the filibuster. Wisconsin Right to Life believed that the ad that they wanted to run were materially identical to the ads which the proponents of McCain-Feingold said were genuine issue ads, and they submitted proof that there were six genuine issue ads that had been broadcast prior to that time. And in looking at the essential features of those ads, you could see that the ads were grassroots lobbying type ads, that they were directed at particular legislative issues, that the ads expressed an opinion on those issues, and the tagline was to urge members of the public to contact their senators and urge them to vote to oppose the filibuster. Now the ad in itself, the TV ad says as follows, voiceover: there are a lot of judicial nominees out there who can't go to work. Their careers are put on hold because a group of U.S. senators is filibustering, blocking qualified nominees for a simple yes or no vote. It's politics is at work and is causing gridlock. Contact Senators Feingold and Cole and tell them to oppose the filibuster. Visit befair.org. Wisconsin Right to Life is responsible for the content of this advertising. So this ad is a classic grassroots lobbying ad, and there is no connection with the text of this ad to the election. And even though it would be certainly permissible, there's nothing in the ad that even states the position of these senators on the filibuster issue, and as a result, certainly does not praise or criticize them for that position. Well, the problem was that the The filibuster issue was expected to come to a head in the fall of 2004, and there was an election being held in Wisconsin, and Senator Feingold was up for election. Thus, starting August 15th, this was considered one of these electionary communication ads that are prohibited because it mentions the name of a candidate within 30 days of a primary or 60 days of a general election and is broadcast to the constituents of this public official. Even though in the McConnell case, the FEC and the federal congressional sponsors, McCain et al., said that there are grassroots lobbying ads and said that as-applied challenges could be brought, they switched sides in the Wisconsin case. They said that no, there can be no as-applied challenges, and really there are no genuine issue ads. They wanted to not look at the text, but look at and try to ferret out through very intrusive discovery the subjective intent of Wisconsin Right to Life, whether or not it was really to lobby these senators or was it to affect an election. And furthermore, they put on experts that said that, hey, any ad, even ads that don't mention the names of candidates, can influence an election. And they wanted to claim that they claimed that the government has the power to prohibit anything that would influence an election. Well, the district court agreed, and it went to the U.S. Supreme Court in January of 2006, where Wisconsin Right to Life won the first part of this case, which is that no, all as-applied challenges were not banned by McConnell, that they could be brought, and asked the district court to decide the case on the merits. In December of 2006, the district court upheld the Wisconsin Right to Life's desire to run these ads and said that the blackout period could not be applied to these ads. And their reasoning was that the ads had absolutely no link between the text of the ad and the election because there was no reference to the opponent, a candidacy of Senator Feingold, the political party, in other words, nothing about the character or fitness of Senator Feingold for office. So now we are before the United States Supreme Court on that issue, whether, in my judgment, the Supreme Court is now going to give meaning to McConnell's statement that there were genuine issue ads that can be protected by as-applied challenges, or is the court going to essentially gut McConnell by saying that, in which the government is advocating, that there are no genuine issue ads that can be run during these blackout periods. And finally, McCain has argued in his brief that the whole purpose of these ads is to prevent criticism of public officials, which is, of course, a very ironic claim, since it was the First Amendment that was intended to protect the right of American citizens to criticize governmental officials for what they do in office. And what the FEC and McCain's position ignores is the fact that while we have an election going on, we have Congress in session. They are voting to tax us and regulate us. And of course, American citizens have the right to petition the government. And corporations have an absolute right to do grassroots lobbying about upcoming votes in Congress. And while the court has found that corporate involvement in elections can be corrupting of the electoral process, they have equally held that there is no corruption at all in the activities of corporations in engaging in lobbying and grassroots lobbying activities. So we believe that the government interest in is simply not sufficient here to prohibit what is otherwise constitutionally protected grassroots lobbying activities. Unfortunately, the the incumbent politicians, McCain and the sponsors, and the Federal Election Commission are really going for a twofer. They have been successful in making it illegal for corporations to run issue ads during these periods of time, and now they want to prohibit grassroots lobbying about upcoming votes that are being conducted during these blackout periods. This really goes, in my judgment, to the very heart of citizens' participation in our democracy that has been seriously undermined by the McCain-Feingold law generally. And if the court would find that Wisconsin's ad cannot be run, will further undermine the ability of citizens to influence their government when they are doing important work of legislating and lawmaking, which occurs so frequently during these blackout periods. I'm cautiously optimistic that the majority of the court will give meaning to McConnell's statement that there were genuine issue ads that that could be protected by as-applied challenges. I think the case was very hotly contested in the oral argument today. It'll probably be a relatively close decision of 5-4, perhaps 6-3. While it is not certain, based upon what happened today, who would win, I'm cautiously optimistic that Wisconsin Right to Life will be able to do grassroots lobbying through the most effective means, which is broadcast advertising, and that such a ruling by the Supreme Court will allow all groups to engage in that sort of grassroots lobbying by using broadcast ads when Congress is voting on important matters. It does go to the heart of our democracy. It is an important case in terms of continued citizen participation in our democracy.
And now, Donald J. Simon.
What is at the heart of the Wisconsin Right to Life case is the vitality of the prohibition in federal law that bars corporations and labor unions from spending their general treasury funds to influence federal elections. That's a prohibition that dates back 100 years to the first efforts in the presidency of Theodore Roosevelt to try to control the spending of corporate treasury funds on federal elections. That prohibition has been upheld as constitutional and consistent with the First Amendment because of the distorting effects that large aggregations of wealth can have on elections. The prohibition has been evaded in recent years by the use of ads to attack candidates but avoid using words of express advocacy when they do so. So although the ads don't say vote against candidate Smith, the ads would attack candidate Smith for his position on issues and then tell a voter to call candidate Smith. Those kinds of ads clearly are campaign ads. They're intended to be campaign ads by their sponsors. They're certainly perceived as campaign ads by viewers. And yet, in recent years, they have gotten through a loophole in the law simply by the expedient of avoiding words of express advocacy. Through this loophole, which grew in the 1980s and 1990s, hundreds of millions of dollars of corporate and union general treasury funds flowed into federal elections, really undermining in a very severe way the vitality of this longstanding prohibition on the use of general treasury funds to influence elections. Now, in the McCain-Feingold law, this loophole was closed by a provision which said that any broadcast ad run within 30 days of a primary election or 60 days of a general election, which mentions a federal candidate, refers to a candidate, and is targeted to the electorate of that candidate, has to be treated as a campaign ad. That means, of course, not that the ad is banned, but it just requires corporations and unions to use PAC money, money raised in a separate segregated fund from individuals, instead of general treasury funds to pay for the ad. So corporations and unions can run any ads they want. They can engage in election advocacy. They can advocate specifically for or against federal candidates, and they can spend as much as they want doing so. They just have to use PAC funds instead of general treasury funds to pay for such ads. This provision was challenged in the McConnell case after McCain-Feingold was passed, and it was upheld by the Supreme Court as not substantially overbroad. The court, in the McConnell opinion, noted that the paradigmatic attack ad was an ad that criticized, say, Jane Doe on an issue and then told listeners to call Jane Doe. That kind of ad, the court said, is intended to influence elections, has the effect of influencing elections, and therefore the Congress was within its rights to require that kind of ad to be paid for as a campaign ad. Now, in this case, Wisconsin Right to Life challenges the restriction as applied to three ads that it wanted to run in the 2004 election. Those ads attack a group of senators for supporting the filibuster of judicial nominees, and then say contact Senator Feingold and Senator Cole. The ads do not tell the listener how to contact the senators, but refer the listener to a website that contains advocacy attacking Feingold and Cole, and I think would be understood by anyone viewing the website as advocating Senator Feingold's defeat. The ads qualified as electioneering communications within the meaning of the law because they were run within the 30 and 60-day period right before the 2004 election in which Senator Feingold was a candidate. Now, these ads fit the paradigm kind of sham issue ad that the court in the McConnell case said could be regulated as a campaign ad. Just as the Jane Doe ad the court talked about, these ads attack Senator Feingold for his position and then tell viewers to call Feingold. Wisconsin Right to Life says that the ad had a lobbying purpose, and maybe that's true, but so does every sham issue ad. In the McConnell case, there were thousands of these ads that were in the record before the court, and the sponsors of those ads claimed every one of them had some grassroots lobbying purpose. That does not diminish the point that those ads still were campaign ads. They were, in many cases, intended to advocate against a candidate, and certainly would have been viewed as a by any reasonable viewer as advocating the election or defeat of a candidate. If you allow an exemption from the law for any ad that has some lobbying purpose, then you are functionally overruling the court's holding in McConnell and, as a practical matter, eviscerating not only the McCain-Feingold law, but also the underlying restriction on the use of corporate and union treasury funds to influence federal election. Now, again, it's important, I think, to note that Wisconsin Right to Life was not prohibited from running the precise ads it wanted to run. It just had to use PAC funds to pay for those ads, funds that were available to it. Wisconsin Right to Life had maintained a PAC for many years, had been quite successful in raising money for its PAC, and could have done so in 2004 to run the ads it wished to run. At the argument in the case, I think what most observers saw was a sharply divided court, which is not surprising given that the McConnell decision itself reflected a sharply divided court. In McConnell, the provision at issue was upheld by a vote of 5-4. And we saw that kind of close division in the court again during this argument. Justice Scalia quite forthrightly called for overruling McConnell. I think most observers would expect that Justice Thomas would agree with that based on his previous positions in this area. The Chief Justice, I think, was focused on looking for the kind of test that could be applied on an as-applied basis to determine whether an ad should be exempt from the law or not, and he asked many questions to that effect. On the other hand, Justice Breyer and to some extent Justice Souter expressed concerns that any test that exempts the ads at issue in this case, again, because those ads really are in the sort of paradigmatic nature of the kind of sham issue ads that the court dealt with in McConnell, any test that would exempt these ads would eviscerate the statute, and that even if the court did not, as a formal matter, say that it was overruling the McConnell case, issuing that kind of test and applying it to these ads would have, as a practical matter, the effect of overruling McConnell. And those who were in the McConnell majority obviously would be very opposed to going down that road. I think it is hard to predict exactly where the court is going to come out. I think this will be a close case with the court closely divided. But I think at the end of the day, it's going to come down to whether the court is able to formulate a test that narrowly deals with the ads in this case without functionally overruling its decision in McConnell. And I think the argument did not lead to a clear answer as to exactly how that inquiry is going to come out.